This is a previously recorded episode.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Tell me you love me. I need a good laugh. I'm holy water. You need a good bath. Whiskey and perfume. You had a nightcap. Now how about that? A perfect stranger. He's got a bullet with your name in the chamber. I'm body oaking, rearranger. You feel my danger. Pissed, I'm a bitch. Guess the last word. All your excuses keep coming faster. But your mouth cannot warm my blaster. This time a bitch gets the last word. When you got found out, it's not your heart that my sights will take out. I'm pointing to you south. Oh, ain't you so cute, the way you beg me. You might get lucky, I'm feeling friendly. I might not shoot you in the glen, you're defending. Your shit's never ending. This time I'm a bitch, guess the last word. All your excuses keep coming faster, but your mouth. September night, when you were rocking me, gripping me tight, my nails running up and down your spine. I never would have thought you'd drive a knife through mine. Remember feelings that we had before, pinned up against the office door.
Nooner time. I'm Jay Dubs.
And I'm Denise Brennan Nelson.
Welcome to the Nooner Show. We are broadcasting live from PodcastDetroit.com network in the Detroit Sound Studios above Active 8 Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan. And it's hump day.
Happy hump day. Hey, wait, I got to go back. What? I wasn't going to say I'm Denise Brennan Nelson.
What were you going to say? I
was going to be someone else today. No.
Oh.
It dawned on me recently that we say I'm Jackie Wallace or I'm Jessica or I'm Grace Thomas or
right?
When really your name is that. You are not that.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
does that make sense?
Are we getting technical already? I mean, we're not into the show.
Well, no, seriously, think about it.
Okay,
Grace,
so how would
Grace
you
Thomas
introduce
is in the house. Now, Grace, you say my name is or I'm Grace Thomas?
My name is.
Okay, I mean, mm-hmm. I know, it's technical, I just thought.
So you want, so we have to just start saying my name is.
Well, I was somewhere and I was listening to everybody introduce themselves and mm-hmm. they were all saying, I'm, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, that's not really who they are.
Right.
I know, sorry, Jack, threw you
it's
off there,
not?
Didn't I? Well, you're not.
You're not your
you're
name.
Not your name. You're so much more than that.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm not sure. J-dubbed. There you go. But speaking of Grace Thomas, we have an awesome interview.
Don't go away, anyone.
No, don't go away because you know what's exciting? Love these technical difficulties. Of course it's exciting. It's always exciting. Oh, man. Anyway, it's great that we have these technical difficulties because we were going to play a couple of songs that Grace Thomas wrote and one cover that she recorded. But because we have technical difficulties, AKA meaning you and I have no idea how to do this stuff. And poor me Jessica. Either.
You know what? Send me the songs ahead of time and I'll go ahead and throw them in down piece.
Oh, now
you.
I have to do it ahead of time.
If you can. Jeez. And then I'll throw them in down piece right. for you.
Okay. You're right.
Yeah, get on it, Jackie.
I know.
Send
I'm
them ahead
sorry.
Of time.
I'm sorry.
You?
But Grace Thomas, the Grace Thomas Experience, is a singer-songwriter, actually a sanger. Songwriter. We're gonna learn the difference because we get to hear her live today. So we're gonna talk
beautiful.
To her in just a few minutes and find out what it takes.
Yeah, we got a glimpse of it already. And
yeah.
My toes just had goosebumps on them. It was so amazing.
Well,
so stick around.
It was amazing. Then you started singing the same song
as if it was comparable in any way,
I
shape,
know.
Or form.
Not. I could tell poor Grace was just drinking her wine faster. She was drinking her wine faster.
I can make anybody sing.
You know what?
Oh, well, no, we're going to get to that.
Grace
is
a voice coach, and right, yeah. I know we're jumping ahead. However, mm-hmm. did you hear any promise in my voice,
mm-hmm.
Grace?
Have another glass of wine, Grace. Where's the bottle?
We asked her earlier what was the best drink for voice, and she said water.
Yeah. So we've already failed right before we started.
Right.
It's not
going
to happen.
Beautiful, beautiful voice.
I know.
Stick around. Her singing is amazing, and we'll get to all that. We've got lots of questions for her. So
so what's going on,
So
Denise?
What else is new? Well, I just have a couple of quick things, and I'm going to bring Grace and Jessica into this. I read a great article about an invisibility cloak.
Mm.
Have you had, you know, Harry Potter had one,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter could
and we
put
know
on.
He was real. Because what's her name made a $1 billion.
Isn't she?
Oh,
yeah.
She's a billionaire.
Oh, I know.
Now.
Right. She
oh,
is
yeah.
because she thought of that. And now it turns out that researchers in California have developed one. It's small. It's not the same. You know, it's not as big as the one Harry Potter wrote. But apparently you can put this cloak or this invisibility cloak over something with irregular shapes or that's 3D and it will make it look flat. So they're talking about putting
really?
It on beer bellies.
What about wine bellies? Why do they discriminate yeah. against?
That's false advertising.
Well, no.
Oh, that's really funny. Can
it
you imagine?
Is.
But I just found that really interesting that, you know, they are actually, and like you said, here somebody writes about it,
mm-hmm.
and now researchers are coming up with one, and it got me thinking about, first of all, would you like one? Would you like to have a cloak that you could put on that would make you invisible?
Yes.
And, okay, Jessica would.
That mm-hmm. would be really fun,
and
actually.
Where, when I and where would you use
people.
It?
Oh,
I would
yeah.
play pranks on
oh,
people
absolutely.
All the time.
Just for pranks.
They would just be
yeah.
walking, and I might stick my foot out real quick. They wouldn't know where it came from. Well, that's where they fall hard, just where they stumble a little bit, you know? Or
wow,
I might
Jessica.
Just start walking around with things, and people would freak out, yeah.
Oh.
Not to anybody,
oh, actually,
obviously, that could have a heart attack,
mm-hmm.
but still.
So you like to scare people.
Mm-hmm. I just like to mess with people.
Oh,
life's
no.
too short not to have fun.
That's
and
true.
Play
but
around,
can
you
I
know?
Can I just play devil's advocate here? Because
yeah, yeah.
my husband likes to do just what you said, mess with people. And he likes to hide behind corners and when the kids are or and walk around, he'll like, bah! And I want to die.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't like being scared. I don't like scary movies. I don't like people jumping out or sticking their foot out with an invisibility cloak on.
Well, I wouldn't do it to you then.
Okay. So I need to wear a sign that says if you're
not
invisible. Don't mess
funny.
With me.
Yeah.
Would you like to, Jackie?
You yeah. know what? At first I was thinking no, but now listening to Jessica, yeah, that would
she
be
wants
a lot
to
of
play
fun.
Pranks.
Oh, absolutely.
She planted the seed. Now you're
that,
okay.
Yeah, I want one. Where do we get them?
Well, they're still working on it, but I thought it was pretty cool. And
yeah.
Grace, you haven't weighed in on this. Would you like an invisibility?
No.
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 I like to know
what's
going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What about any other superpower that
I can have
that you would love to have?
To fly.
Okay. Oh.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, to fly.
Hmm.
All right. What about you, Jackie? Is there another one? Like, would you like to be able to breathe underwater or?
No.
What about being super strong? Oh, you already are.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right. Basically, what superpower would we want?
Read
huh?
minds. Yes. Read minds. That's
no.
What
oh, that'd be good. No. Yeah. Do you really want to read people's minds?
Why? You could plan. You could could strategically have the right move if you knew what somebody else was thinking.
That would be so boring.
In business? No, that would be fun.
It would be helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Too much. Why, much information.
What would you?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple. One, I'd love to sing like Grace Thomas.
And Denise, that is a superpower.
To me, it's a superpower. The other one that I think would be really cool is to be able to speak every language.
Oh, that'd be good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not really a superpower.
You try speaking every language.
But
if you can read their mind.
No one's come up with a superhero that can do that.
Yeah.
You're thinking of Superman and Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I'm thinking like X-Men, like the one can control other people's minds and make them do what they want, you know, want them to do. I would totally want that one.
That sounds like something you would like, Jackie.
absolutely. I would want that
one. We'd start right here at the Nooner Show.
If I had that superpower, we'd all be millionaires right now.
Ooh.
I'd like to dance. That's another one.
I used to dance a long time ago.
You'd like to dance?
To be able to dance like the people on, you know, Dancing with the Stars.
So you could probably do
that. That's not a superpower, though.
No.
Aren't we?
What's your definition of a superpower?
Well, it's not something you can just go learn.
The power to do something super well.
Oh, it is? Okay, that's not what I thought
it was.
I just
pulled that out of my...
Oh, I was thinking of unrealistic stuff.
It sounds like it. Sounds like something you just pulled out of your coffee cup.
You know what? Yep. All right. Well, you know what? We do have superpowers here, don't we?
Yes, sort of. We do.
Yes, we do.
It's right here in this glass.
That's right.
It's fermented grapes.
Yeah.
That's the superpower. That's the cheers, superpower. Everyone.
Whoever. Cheers, yes.
Cheers, hump day.
Happy hump day, and we're getting to the end of September, and who's not loving this weather?
I love it.
Yesterday was the first day of fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Officially, I mean, I know.
Is it today? Today.
Oh, is it today?
Oh, really?
I think it's today.
23rd, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It varies, I think.
It does? I think it's 23rd,
The equinoxes vary, but I think it is the 23rd for the fall. Somebody text us and let us know for sure.
Text us. We don't really need that information. It's
okay.
We know it's fall.
It was either yesterday or today.
Right.
So.
Right.
All right. Well, so what else is new? What'd you do all weekend? Did you have any fun this weekend? Bopping around? Did you dally in the alley again?
No, I wish I did. Grace, have you ever been to Dally in the Alley?
No, what's that? I thought she was just talking about a real alley.
No. It is. It is.
Oh, it is?
It's in the alleys in Detroit, and it's a festival.
Oh.
It's the coolest festival.
She went last weekend.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. They had it last weekend?
It was last weekend. You know, it's only
Dally
one
in the
day.
Alley. Yeah. Jeff was telling me about that on his five gear on the show, I think, last week or the week before.
Well, we talked about it last week. Where were you? Were you?
I was off in La La Land. I was super like
she was
super
using her
tired.
Superpowers and ignoring us.
You listen to me like my kids do.
I was using her superpowers.
I got it.
I was sleepy
I
last
can't hear
week,
you.
So
all
I, was,
right.
I had a little haze in the brain.
No, it was the 12th.
Okay.
September 12th. Yeah, huh. it's a really cool festival, right? In Detroit and in the alleys. Yeah, it was just cool. All kinds of people.
Next year. We'll go next year.
Oh, yeah. And the music is incredible.
Oh, okay.
Really good music.
Great.
Well, they have what? Music, food, art. People are making art right in front of you, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Everything is Detroit. Detroit made art. I mean, it's really, really cool.
I'm jealous.
Oh, it was neat.
Yeah. Too late. You missed it. Next year. Put it on your calendar. Yep. Well, I'm going to play Bunko tonight. It's not as much fun as Dally in the Alley, but...
The hell is Bunko? Seriously, what's
Do you know
Bunko?
What Bunko is, Grace?
No.
Do you, Jessica?
No. I'm waiting for you to tell me.
What is Bunko?
It's a dice game. It's a social dice game involving 100% luck and no skill.
Okay.
Which is why I love it. And actually,
it's kind of like us playing fantasy football.
There you go. Well,
no
this
skill.
Well, you do have dice and you do... get together. It's well. The Washington Post refers to it as the housewife's drinking game.
Really?
Yeah, but that's not really what it is. It's really an opportunity for friends to get together. I have a group of friends, and you you know, you take turns hosting it at your house, and you have some prizes. And
so what do you do?
How do you roll dice?
And you start, you know, you have to work up numbers, and you just try to get three of, like, three sixes or three fives or three fours. And, you know, when you, if you, it's not that complicated.
So it's a card game, right?
It's dice.
Dicing. Yes.
So no cards.
No cards, just dice. It's just cards. Dice, and you have a couple of tables, and you go back and forth.
So the person that gets the highest number.
You have food and alcohol. And
why is it called Bunko or whatever you called it?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. It goes way back. I think it started in, like, the 1800s, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. It's something. I think it started during the Prohibition times. Okay. And I am not pulling that out of. I did read that somewhere. Yeah. Seriously.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's my fun for the night. And I can't wait because I haven't seen my girlfriends for any great length of time this summer. So, yeah, you know, a couple hours of fun. And weeknight, something different.
Good deal. Well, happy ladies have a blast.
Yes. Yes, we always
do. What's the drink for tonight?
Everybody brings their own.
The host
provides food.
Okay.
And so I'm not even sure what I'm drinking. I don't know. Probably your wine.
I think the wine's going to be gone before your bunko party happens. Yeah.
Oh, I'll get something else. But so
what else is going on?
Not a whole lot.
Oh, well, I can tell you, tomorrow is Glam Meets Jam.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, yes. So
tell everybody again what that is. We talked about this last week as well, but Glam Meets Jam.
Glam Meets Jam is the rock and roll hair show, and it's sponsored by Metro 37 Recording Studios out of Auburn Hills and Bonsadello Salon and Spa in Shelby Township, and $10 a ticket. All the proceeds go to No Resolve, which is a youth suicide awareness and prevention nonprofit organization. So it's a really good cause. And a lot of people donating their time for tomorrow. It's going to be at Hatchie's in downtown Utica, and doors open at 6:30.
And Rocky Veloos is emceeing it.
She is emceeing it.
She is also responsible for our wonderful theme song that you heard at the beginning of the show. You knew that, right, Grace?
Yeah.
Isn't that a great song?
Another voice.
So, yeah, thank you, Rocky. We have to remember to thank her every week.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. So, well, let's get Grace in on this.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about dreams.
Oh, you want to talk about dreams?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, let me ask the three of you. Do you have a recurring dream? Anybody?
Yes.
What, Jessica pipes up slowly and with some
Does it
restraint.
Have anything to do with fantasy football?
No. Okay. No, that's in my real life every day because my boyfriend has two leagues along with one baseball league, so that's all I hear about is fantasy football.
That wasn't exactly the dream I was talking about.
No.
That's okay.
No. Oh, gotcha. No, I did have a great dream about Adam Levine one night.
Did?
Is that recurring?
I wish.
Was he clothed? Or
he was for most of it, and then he wasn't. For some reason, my boyfriend and I were both at his house, and we were all hanging out.
It was
we were all sick. No. I had them all to myself. So we were all sick, and then Chris left and went and, like, cheated on me with some girl and then brought the girl back, and then I broke up with him, and I was crying. Adam Levine kicked Chris out of his house, and then, you know, we did the nasty. So then I woke up really happy, and I'm like, that would have been a really terrible dream if me and Adam Levine wouldn't have hooked up during it.
Wow. But that didn't – yeah.
No, the reoccurring dream is, for whatever reason, it's the weirdest thing ever. I get kidnapped by, like, this Mexican gang, they're really, really nice, though, and they kidnap me because of Chris. I guess he owes them money or something, and no, he's in IT. He's, like, the most innocent person on the planet, so he doesn't get involved in bad things like that in real life. But, in this dream, this Mexican gang kidnaps me, but then they're, like, feeding me, and they're super nice, and we're hanging out playing cards and stuff. And
Bunko.
Playing Bunko.
No, that's dice, right?
Yes. Yes.
So we're playing. No, you're fine. So we're playing some sort of card game, and we're hanging out, but they won't let me go, you know, until Chris comes and meets with them. And then finally, like, Chris won't come and meet with them, so they give up on him. And they're like, well, your boyfriend's kind of, you know, a jerk, whatever.
Wow. He's not listening today, is he?
Oh, no, he knows. Good. I told him.
That so. He's a jerk? Or
no, in my dream.
Oh, the dream.
Dream,
okay.
Dream Chris occasionally sucks, but real life Chris is great. So.
Oh, good. Wow.
But yeah, so that's really weird. And then we hang out, and then they end up leaving because they know that, like, Chris isn't going to come through or whatever it is. And he, I think, in this dream is always in Vegas, which he's never gone to. So.
Sounds like a 3-hour dream.
It's, like, excessively long.
How long do you sleep?
And it's reoccurring. Yeah. Wow. But, well, some nights, sometimes 3 hours. But, so it's interesting.
During
they're
the
really nice.
Show.
Now, do you...
They're the nicest kidnappers on the planet, honestly.
That's really interesting.
It is really, really, really strange. And I've had it about 6 times now. Whoa. 6 or 7.
Had a psychologist interpret that dream?
No, but I mean, I probably should since I've had it so many times.
Well,
so.
I read an article, and psychologists have come up with 9 reoccurring dreams, the most common reoccurring dreams.
Really?
Being chased, which I'm sure you've heard. Falling, flying, being in an out-of-control vehicle is in the top 9. Mm. Finding an unused room, which I love because this means you're discovering a talent you weren't aware of before.
No.
Another one that was interesting, and again, this is in the top 9 of most recurring dreams. It had something to do with a toilet. Oh, unable to find a toilet.
Oh.
It means you're finding it a challenge to clearly express your own needs.
You seriously have dreams like that?
I don't. I don't. I've never had any of these. Naked in public means you feel vulnerable or exposed.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah.
Flying means if you have a reoccurring dream that you're flying, it means that you're released. You've released yourself from a circumstance that has been weighing you down.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I've heard of a lot of people having reoccurring dreams of falling. It means they're hanging on too tightly to a particular situation in life.
Really?
Wow.
I've seen books, you know, like at bookstores with where they interpret your dreams.
Right.
And teeth falling out is one of the top 9 that apparently psychologists have found is a reoccurring dream for people. And it means that some situation is causing your confidence to crumble. I don't know. I've not had any of these.
Yeah.
But I was just curious if anybody...
Falling, I have. Not lately, but yeah, I've had falling.
Was it... Now, when you look back, was it during times that
something was weighing you down?
Things were difficult?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Huh.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that dreams are a reflection of things that are going on? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's your subconscious.
Okay. Working things out and...
Because sometimes you don't even know you're feeling these things, and I think they come out in your dreams.
Right. And I've also read, too, that, you know, some people say that those are messages from God.
Yeah, that too.
You know.
There's different
types. You're getting different messages.
Why do some people not remember any of their dreams or feel like they don't dream? I've heard a lot of people say that.
Really?
They still dream, though, I think.
They do, but they don't remember.
They don't remember.
And I go in phases where I'll have really vivid dreams. I always feel like it has something to do with what I ate before I went to bed.
I was
going to
say the same thing.
But sometimes
with what you eat or drink.
Yeah. Well, like if I eat pizza, I always seem to have more vivid dreams.
Well, they always say, this is an old wise tale, if you eat pork, you'll have nightmares.
Really?
So watch that. Well, pork usually is on pizza sometimes.
Oh. I love pork.
So, do you remember your dreams?
Yeah, but see, remember we talked earlier how I prepare for bed?
So you're out cold.
I'm out cold. Yeah. So I don't know if I'm dreaming or having nightmares.
Think, what does she do before bed? It's really nothing.
It's a secret. And we don't want to tell people because we don't want them to do it at home. Yeah. Because apparently there are bad side effects.
Call me, I'll tell you. Well, let's get good. I have so many questions for Grace.
Okay.
So.
Let's get to Grace.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. Grace, you're going to perform live today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So can we do just a little teaser right now? Not the whole song. You're going to cover Aretha Franklin's Natural Woman, but can we just do a little teaser now so people can hear it? Then let's do the interview, and then we're going to have you perform the song in its entirety because we really want our listeners to hear why you're on this show, you're an expert at what you do.
Okay.
So Grace is part of our What's the Wish, What's the Way, and What's in the Way.
So, okay. You want to give me a hand signal?
Let's go ahead and just start with the little teaser.
And
she's
this is Natural Woman by Aretha Franklin, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
But sung by Grace Thomas.
Right now. This is live.
Live on the Nooner Show.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Looking out on the morning rain. Oh. I used to feel so uninspired. Oh. And when I knew I had to face another day.
I know.
Your voice is like heaven.
I know.
Thank you.
I don't want her to stop either, but we need to interview Grace because she. We're going to learn a lot today.
Hopefully, she's going to teach us how to sing.
Okay, yeah, we can do that.
It's so funny watching you, Denise, and I wish the listeners could see you.
I know. One day I'm going to record you in here, I swear.
She closes her eyes and starts swaying. Like,
it's like she's meditating in Happy Land of Music.
Oh. Well, I think she's acting like she's Grace or thinks that she don't.
Well, that's the whole point.
I'm watching you going, Denise,
I felt it.
Don't sing, Denise, don't sing.
I felt it. It's going to be hard to do the rest of the interview.
Let me tell you.
I'm glad that we did that because anybody that was listening is now just glued to their
seats. Well, and here's the thing. This was live. There's no adjusting it to sound better or anything. I mean, that was the real thing.
That was live, people.
So. And it's kind of morning voice, sort of.
Yeah, which is right.
And you do probably have to warm up, just like an athlete.
And
well, you didn't have to, but.
So I just have to tell you how I met Grace.
Okay.
It was, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago or something like that. And John Paul was probably about 10 or 11. And he was hosting a kids' karaoke show at a bar. We're really good parents. We get them in really early. 10 years old, 11 years old, get them the fake ID, get them in the bar. Let's get this over with.
Start them early.
Start them early. But no, he was hosting a kids' karaoke show. It was really pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Grace was there. And now, were you coaching some of the kids that were there? Were some of those your student? I think somebody was your student there.
Yeah.
And so the bar owner, JW, is a huge fan of Grace. And I had never met Grace. And so when the kids all took a break, he invited Grace up to sing. And what song was that? It was Aretha Franklin, When a Man Loves
was
a
it
Woman.
That, it might have been And I'm Telling You.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Jennifer Holiday.
Oh, my gosh. So she got up and, you know, I'm not really paying too much attention, drinking. All of a sudden, she starts singing. Everybody stopped. And I had one of those holy shit moments. Seriously. So I went up to the owner and I said, who is that? And he started telling me about her. I said, does she give vocal lessons? He said, yes. So I went right up to her like a you know, true
like
stalker.
Like a Jackie
Wallace. Like a true stalker fan. And we ended up working out, you know, with her schedule and our schedule and hired her for Rocky.
So you've coached both Rocky and John Paul.
Yeah, she's still working with John Paul right now.
Uh-huh.
So she's unbelievable. And then I've seen her perform just at her shows, you know, different shows that she's had. But we'll talk about this in a little bit about stage presence and stuff like that because you're just like completely different. On stage anybody else I've seen perform. I mean, talk about actually having a connection to the music and actually becoming the music that you sing about. I've never seen anyone do it like you do it.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm going to turn it over to Denise because I know she's got 20 pages. So you want another glass of wine?
I never
because we're going
to
be here a while.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a 2 hour. No, we don't, but I wish we did. Well, gosh, just why don't you just tell us how you got into music? I mean, has it always been something you love to do?
Yes.
Go back. Take us back.
Take us a long way back.
Way back.
I always sang, I think, since I was little, just saying. I'm from the South.
Okay.
The Deep South. And I lived in the country. So I would go out at night, and I would just, I'd probably be like 7 or 8 or something like that. And I would just sing. I would sing to God. I would just sing. So but I really didn't sing a lot in, like, school. I danced more, like, in school. So I came here after, I came to Chicago. I was in Chicago for a while when I was, like, 15. And then I, my brother, I have a half-brother, and he used to listen to songs like Barbara Streisand, Melissa Manchester, that kind of stuff, and Frank Sinatra. So he had these albums. They were albums at the time. And he'd be in the basement and listening to them. And so I'd go down there, and he had Barbara Streisand on one day. And she was doing The Way We Were.
Oh.
And I just start singing along with it. And he just turned it down. He was like, I think you can sing. Maybe you should do this.
Older brother?
Yes, he's older. He died, as a matter of fact, 4 months ago. Yeah, he did. And we were my friend and I were talking about this when he was dying. It's really different, because she was saying, "How did you learn? You know, how did you start singing?" And I said, "Oh, my brother. It was for him. He started me to really start to do it as a business." You know.
Okay. How old were you then? 7, 15, 8?
I was 15 at this time when I took it serious. Okay. Because he said, "Yeah, I think you got a voice."
So. Did you think you had a voice? Did you?
Yeah,
recognize
I kinda,
it?
Yeah.
You did.
So what I did after I learned that song. That was my first song. I actually
Barbara Streisand
learned. Yeah. The Way We Were.
Oh, I love that song.
And
can you sing that for us later?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll sing a little bit.
Okay.
I just started that. You know, I learned that song and I started singing. And he was a reason. But I say that to say this: I started with that kind of music first, like popular music. I guess that's what they would call it. And then I went into like the R&B. Like Aretha Franklin. So I always like to say my voice is a mixture of Barbara and Aretha.
Wow.
What a combination. Because Aretha is the feeling,
voice.
And Barbara has that control. Barbara Streisand is like, if you want to learn control, you listen to. And I tell my students that, too. And they're like, who's Barbara?
She's got an amazing voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are people, do you think people are born singers, or do you think it's a skill or a talent?
Some are. There are some that are just born with it and never had a lesson.
Were you born with it?
I think I was. I've had lessons myself, in college. I would take a few classes. But for the most part, I just started singing, and it just came out. And But then you can make singers. There are some that we call made singers.
Aren't a lot of, I don't like to say this, but aren't a lot of the singers that you see today made singers? Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Now, what do you mean by made singer? Is that somebody that's got a great voice but doesn't know necessarily how to tap into it or do voice exercises or anything?
Or they don't have a great voice
right. And you have to make it.
But they might have the stage presence.
Work at it. Uh-huh, and you work at it. Because singing is there are mechanisms that you can do. You know, your voice is like playing an instrument. Your voice is like an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have to learn how to use it. Even if you're born with it, you still have to learn how to use it a lot
right.
of times.
Yeah. But you can't teach everybody to sing.
No,
I mean,
not
you
everybody.
Can teach them,
yeah.
but they
won't be like, you know, the best singer in the whole world. They'll get by.
Right.
You're not going to walk out being Christina Aguilera.
They'll be able to hold a note and, you know,
right.
you know, that kind of thing. But
So you started off, you were very young, and then and then what? I mean, how did you start performing?
My uncle, I came here. My mother was here. So I graduated high school, and I came here to Michigan. Well, Michigan, yeah, Flint. And my uncle, he was from Chicago, and he had moved over here to work in the shop or something. And he was a blues singer on the side in Chicago.
Oh.
He was like Chicago blues.
Cool.
His name was Lynn Bland. He died 3 years ago. So, but he started me singing in his band. You know,
okay.
I would open for him, and then some of his friends, and then I just, you know, I would do a lot of that. I would open for a lot of people.
So you started with blues?
Blues, R&B, whatever
wow.
they pay me for.
Yeah.
yeah. So I just always liked different type of music. So I would sing different, whatever they would pay me for. Like I'd do a lot of weddings and that kind of thing, and what do you want? And they'll tell me, and I'll go learn it. And that's the blessing. That's the gift, I think.
That you could take that and apply it to anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, one of the things, Grace, that I mentioned earlier was, is your stage performance. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I've been to a lot of shows, obviously, yeah. with kids involved in the music business. And it's interesting. You can always tell the ones that really connect. Mm-hmm. The ones that can pull you in compared to the ones that are up on stage, they could be good singers, but they're yeah. not emotionally connected and they don't. It doesn't pull you in. Mm-hmm. And I remember a couple of your shows that I've been to. Mm-hmm. She takes over not just the stage, but the entire room. And everybody turns their head and watches her. And, like, you literally, I feel like you're playing out the song because mm-hmm. you feel it.
That's pretty much what I'm doing.
So is that natural? Or
that is the gift, I think.
That's the gift,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Especially if you didn't write the song.
Right.
And you're covering
you have to interpret it your way.
Right.
Yeah. Make, as they always say, make it your own.
Right.
Sort of. But I guess the voice is connected, and I tell my students that too, it's connected to your heart. Sound, you know, sound mm-hmm. is an energy. And so you have to, when you're singing, you have to know how, if you're feeling something like sad, if you're singing something sad, like, I'm so sad, I don't know what to do with myself. You got to emote it. You got to up, you know, because sometimes when you're sad, you're feeling down.
Yeah.
You put that into your singing. Mm.
So when you perform, then do you get into a certain mind frame mm-hmm. with the songs that you're going to perform
yes.
so that you can act them out?
Pretty much. It's like you're doing a video, sort of, you know.
Ah.
And you're telling your story. That's what I usually say. You're telling your story.
And I think that that's, like, one of the biggest things that singers don't do very mm-hmm. good. I think
Because a lot of the singers nowadays, they have all the props and stuff.
Right.
You know, but back
and
in the
lights,
day,
right.
Yeah, you
right.
didn't have, you had just you.
Right.
You know, Aretha would just be standing there.
Right.
Barbara would, you know, and but they would just capture you.
Which is kind of like what Adele is doing.
Adele, yes.
You know?
That's why she's so good.
Amazing. Yeah, and she's one of the few
yep.
that gets up there and just performs without all the theater mm-hmm. and everything else. And she does
capture
that. She does.
Yeah.
Well, and her best songs, mm-hmm. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, because, gosh, I'm wrong a lot about music, it seems. Mm-hmm. But came out of a difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easy to plug into that emotion.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Right.
I mean, we were talking earlier, Grace, about The Voice. I watched
right.
The Voice mm-hmm. last night. And they say that to them, that, you know, if you got to feel it. And if
yes.
you let the nerves get in the way. How do you not, when you're on stage, not get distracted? Or how do you get yourself away from the audience, but still be in touch with them?
That's the God part.
That's a good question.
Because sometimes the band is like, oh, God. You know, because sometimes things don't work out. But you have to just overcome that. You have to sing. You really have to just say, I got a message and I got something I got to say. And so you just take it and make, you know, just make it your own and kind of ignore. The band will catch up or, you know.
Yeah. So it is, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm good at that.
So am I.
So before a show, is there a ritual that you do? Is there anything you do, any meditation or what do you
yes.
practice before you go on stage?
I meditate. I lightly meditate, breathe, mm-hmm. and bring in the spirit. Because I do feel it's a spiritual gift that,
wow.
that God has given me. That because, like I said, I didn't study from like a little girl to do this. It just was there.
Natural.
And I used to sing to God. When I used to go outside and sing to God and stars, I think he heard me. And he
wow.
was like, okay.
Oh.
That's
I'm sure
cool.
he did.
Yeah. So I do feel
that.
You wouldn't hear us.
Went outside. I sing to him all the time.
I do. Brian's like, stop.
He turns the lights off.
Stop. Mute it.
No, he says, Denise, that's not your talent I want you to take into the world. What's your favorite song to sing? Or one of them. I'm not good with the I shouldn't ask that question because I hate when people ask me what's your favorite. But one of your favorite songs to sing that you connect with yourself.
Wind Beneath My Wings.
Oh.
Oh,
yeah.
Another great song.
I sang that at funerals a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I did it at one girl's, of her friend's funeral, and the people were coming up to me, and they were like, when I die, I want you to sing at my funeral. I want you to sing that song.
Wow.
Give me the contract now.
Yeah. Right?
Pay me up front, and I'll be there.
Yeah.
I have a song I want you to sing at my funeral.
What?
What is
the bitch came back. Theory of a dead man.
This time the bitch didn't get the last word is what it's going to
be. Yeah, that'll be yours.
This time the bitch. Okay, wait, another question. Uh-huh. If you were a song, what song would you be?
I Will Survive.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. a good one.
Mm-hmm. I almost mm-hmm. said you don't have to answer that now, but I'm glad I didn't interrupt myself.
Yeah.
And, oh, I will.
Because I do that one, too. But I do it the regular way, and then I slow it down, kind of take it to church. You know.
Ooh, wow. Yeah.
Is there a song that you wish,
kinda wish I could hear that now.
You yeah. owned that Start was your break. Song?
What do you
well,
mean?
Well, like, you know... Because a lot of songs, I mean, a lot of artists write their own music,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct? So if you could take anybody's song, else's song that they've written,
okay,
and it was yours.
Who would I take? What song would I take?
What song would you like to own?
Probably would be the Way We Were.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, who wrote that song?
I don't know if she did or not. I think one of the great writers, like, not Gershwin, but whoever she works with. There's some
David
pianist.
Foster, maybe? Or
it might be David Foster, because she's sure. worked with him.
That's a beautiful but, song. Yeah. I used that in a video at my wedding.
Oh, did you?
Oh, you did?
With pictures from like when my husband and I were young and as kids. So it has a little,
misty
you know,
watered color man.
Denise, don't sing. Let her I'll do it me. By herself.
Wait, if I sing, maybe they'll think it's Grace.
I don't think so. Let's fast forward here with your... So you recognized it at a young age. Mm-hmm. You started performing with bands. And let's talk about the journey where you went with music, because you've toured. You've been all mm-hmm. over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now... Did you perform with the Dramatics or open for the Dramatics?
I opened for the Dramatics at the Rooster Tail.
Did you?
Oh, okay. Detroit, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was in 2002, I think.
Now, do you know T. Money Green?
I have heard of him. I don't know him personally.
Because he played bass with them for a
this
certain
guy,
amount of time.
This guy played bass with them in this particular show. He was real tall.
Okay.
And
so it was probably... No, it wasn't.
Okay.
I mean, there was another bass player at a time. I was just wondering if you knew... Uh-huh. Who he was, but so that's cool because they were, nominated at the
I know
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just last year or the year before or something. Uh-huh. Like
well, they came. And a little story about that is, we were doing the Rooster Tail. It was some party, something, and the Dramatics were there. They were the main group, of course, but they came in and they had their tracks, you know, and I had my band because I've had a band for a while. And they looked and they were like, wait a minute. Yeah, she's got all this. So they went and got their band.
Really? Yeah,
they were like, she's not going to show us out.
Oh, you know, wow. Now, how did that happen, though? How did you end up opening for them?
A friend of mine's, Rick, he does accounting. He's, as a matter of fact, he lives in Berkeley.
Okay.
He was managing me at the time.
Okay.
So he knew some people that was doing the show, you know, was producing a show. And
okay.
They needed an opening act, so... We got lucky.
Wow. Yes. And then who else?
Who I've opened for?
Yeah.
Oh, you might not know this guy. the guy that used to do this funky songs like Funky Chicken. He was like
the wedding song thing?
No, this is like in the 70s. Oh, shoot. He was an older guy. He's died, but he was famous at the time. I've opened for him. Stylistics.
Okay.
That's a group from the 70s. I've done things for Ready for the World.
Oh,
I didn't open
yeah.
for them, but I was did some studio work with them. And
I had lunch with what is from Ready for the World?
Melvin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know had lunch him. With him.
He, as a matter of fact, he used to play when I first came to Michigan. He was like just a guitar player, and we used to do shows at McCree Theater.
Oh wow!
And I had a band, and all he did was just play the guitar, and he wasn't famous yet.
Yeah,
he didn't sing, he didn't talk, he was just real quiet. So when he got famous, I was like, "That's Melvin, right?
Oh,
he used to play for me."
No, yeah, actually, it was Gordon.
That's Gordon, I know Gordon too.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So, where are you at now? With
I was taking a break because I was mad at musicians. I don't like.
It's tough really? Being a front person, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah. If you could change anything about the music industry, you're saying that you are or were frustrated, so mm-hmm. you needed a break. Mm-hmm. If you could change something, what would it be?
Oh, shoot. The way bands deal with singers, because musicians are like, I don't know if it's like competition or what. It's like, why she gets all the glory, you know, and we're just as good, but... So they're very demanding. It's almost like they work for you. You know, they don't work for
right.
You. They're the boss. And so you got to kind of play around that, pacify them.
Right.
I've often wondered though, when I see a band and the lead singer gets most of the attention, mm-hmm. how the band members feel about that. So you're telling me that the band is the boss?
They act like it.
Well, it really is difficult.
It is difficult.
And it's interesting because, you know, I used to think that was like that at a local level, but I started mm-hmm. reading about Paramore, Haley, mm-hmm. I don't know what her last name uh-huh. is, the singer, and she's gone through so many different band members. Even when she made it pretty big,
uh-huh.
they still, you know, she had lost a couple of her guitar players, and part of the problem was just that. They just had a hard time mm-hmm. with... her getting all the attention and that it was about her.
Right.
So it's really just jealousy in general and a lot of egos getting thrown around.
The egos.
Because
musicians, they do have egos, which is good. And so it's just hard to get a good band together. You know, so that's why I changed. I used to just be Grace Thomas, so I did Grace Thomas Experience. And I don't tell the band could be anybody.
Right, right, which I think is good.
It's just me.
Right.
You know?
That's good.
So I just pick members as I go along and put them together. And that's kind of hard. That's kind of stressful.
I imagine.
So let's talk about you're now a vocal coach as well as.
Yes.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
you still perform, you still tour, you write.
Mm-hmm.
But you are a vocal coach now,
that's
too. So let's
fun.
Talk a little bit about that. Are you open to new students, first of all?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
And how can
signing
people... you're signing up? I want to see what you can do with her, Grace.
Okay.
Because if you do something with her,
I'm challenge. And then we'll have her come on here and we'll have her sing.
Not live.
Yes.
Live. All right.
Live. No, if you weeks can ago, you said I had a beautiful voice.
Denise, I was just saying that.
You know what? You can't be good at everything, right?
Yeah, I know.
There's,
thank you, Jessica.
You're a phenomenal author, and I've told you that many times.
You
really are. So just stick with
that. Yeah, I have one of your books
creative.
At home. Thank you.
I have 18 books at home.
Yeah. Well, now I'm jealous.
I know. You should be, and they're all signed.
Well, you're like, you
wait,
should
back
be.
Back to Grace. Money. I want to know how we can find out how she...
How can people get a hold of you if they are interested in lessons?
Okay, Facebook, or just Grace Thomas.
No, wait. You need to clarify, because when I went to Grace Thomas, the new American Doll
came up. Popped up.
Really?
So you need to punch in or... type
how
in.
Did you get a great an American Doll named after you?
I don't know, because I Googled myself and the doll showed up.
Yes. I'm like, wow, Jackie has Grace Thomas, the American Doll.
Because that name is not like a normal name. I mean, you know, Grace Thomas is just not a normal name.
I agree. I couldn't believe it. But if you type in Grace Thomas, Detroit singer, or anything like
Flint. Yeah,
but you're saying Grace Thomas, the Experience.
That I have a Facebook for that too. So it'd probably be better to do that one, the Grace Thomas Experience.
The Grace
Thomas
Experience.
So if anybody is interested in consulting with you about taking private vocal lessons, that's mm-hmm. how they can get a hold of you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. And you are open to new students, right?
Definitely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that with your vocal lessons. How do you decide if you're going to work with somebody? I mean, do you have them audition? Do you?
I'm curious to hear this because I want you to teach me.
For the most part, usually it'll be like you, like how I met you. I'll be singing somewhere. And
so they have to stalk you.
Yeah.
No. No stalk.
Right, or somebody that knows me knows, you know, right, that I do this, and they'll...
Referral.
And usually the person can sing somewhat, usually. Well, I had one student. Marshall. From the studio, Real
Fenton.
For Real.
Yes.
He it was one of his musicians or singers. They needed some vocal lessons. And this kid, he was probably about 18, 19, and he just wanted to sing a certain way, but he had a certain voice, because you do have so much you can work with.
Right.
You, if you're a tenor, and, you know, that's basically what you say. It's kind of hard sometimes to do baritone. He wanted to sing like Otis Redding, you know, the one that's sitting on the dock of the bay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he had more of an alternative voice.
Oh.
Like Train or...
Oh, yeah. So okay. That wouldn't really fit.
Yeah,
the same
and
range,
he was like,
different.
I just, so when I would try to have him, okay, do this, you know, let's go down. I can't do that. Then I'll sound like I can't really push. So he was hard. I did a little bit. I think I helped him a little bit.
Yeah.
He quit probably after like 6 lessons or something like that.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think he's still singing?
Probably, because they did original stuff, so. He sang. He had his own style. But he wanted, and I told him, I said, maybe this is just you know. Don't worry about sounding like Otis Redding.
Right.
Because that's your signature. And just like I would tell John Paul a lot of times and my other students, that you have a signature in your voice.
Right.
That's just you. Because when you hear it, it's something that you do that nobody else does, even if you do the same song that somebody does, the cover.
Right.
It's just something that you do.
Right.
And I told him, I said, maybe this is just your voice, and you just need to write around that, write songs. Since he wrote songs, his original stuff. So.
Now, do you write?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I wrote before I sang, I think. Poetry, that kind of stuff. And then it just transferred to songwriting.
So you have songs that you sing. Mm-hmm. That, okay, wow, that's wonderful.
That we couldn't bring up.
Yeah. With when you're giving the lessons, you're able to figure out what it is that their signature is, and then help develop
that
signature.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And we work with the other stuff.
Isn't it tough though to work with singers? I mean, it just seems like a lot of them,
or their mothers.
Oh. Thanks, Denise. Let me tell you something. I did not attend any of the lessons.
No, she doesn't.
Anywhere.
Well, I did ask her last lesson. Do you see any improvement? He wasted his money?
No, he's improved quite a bit. But
did you hear his song last week that we played?
Yeah, it's great.
She helped him with it.
Yes.
Oh,
really?
She
helped.
She coached him through that song. Absolutely.
Love that song.
But so my question is, because to me it seems like just... from having experience, again, being around the business.
Yeah.
They don't want the advice.
Sometimes they don't.
You know, and so what do you do when you get a student like that, just does not want the advice? I mean, if you can't help them because they don't want to be helped.
Well, you have them listen to themselves. Okay, let's listen to you. We'll tape you. Let's, you know, record you. I'll have you listen. What do you think? So I put it back on them.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, okay. Do you think that sounds good? Yeah. What do you think we need? How did that feel to you? Usually, if I tell them, how did that feel to you? Because after you listen to it, it's like, you're right. And so we'll figure out how to fix that. You know,
and now
they'll listen.
With your vocal lessons, aside from just developing, you know, vocally, do you work with them on stage presence and developing that whole thing?
That's a big part of it.
Right. Well, isn't that the biggest part?
One of the biggest parts. Because if you look good and you got that stage presence, they'll kind of forgive you the voice.
Right.
If you mess up a little bit. Because like I tell my students, it's a human instrument. It's a, you know, it's a voice. So there are going to be days when it's just not going to, you know. And like, they would ask me, well, how do people do like concerts like that? You know, they usually have somebody that sounds just like them in the background, the famous people like Aretha Franklin. And when they can't make the note, they know to come in. That's one little secret they do, because they're singing every night. Mm-hmm. And then don't talk. Celine Dion, I mean, I love her. She is like one of the most awesome for technique and feeling. Celine Dion is. And because I went to see her like maybe 3 times, and she does what we call vocal acrobatics, but she does them just right. And there's this note, this one song that Eric Carmen used to do. She redid it.
My mom loved her.
Not on my own. But there's a note in there that she put in there. He didn't put it in there. And she sings it like, you know, it's a high note, but it's hard. It's a long high note. And she brings it down when she sings it. But she can't talk while she's performing, you know, while she's doing her tours.
Yeah, she writes. Doesn't talk at all.
Yeah, she writes
shows.
Because she uses a lot of vocal acrobatics. And if you sing regular stuff like it won't hurt your voice to sing for 2 hours.
No.
Every day. But if you're singing, yeah, right. You gotta rest your voice. You gotta protect it.
How do you know? I get asked this question a lot as an author. How people will say to me, how do you know when you have a story or an idea worth pursuing? So I want to ask you that question. How do people know when they have a voice, a talent, a gift that's worth pursuing? I mean, there's so many musicians in the world.
You hire her and then she tells you?
But
don't quit your day job.
I mean, right. How do you know when to quit your day job and put everything you know into your dream? I mean, what advice do you have for people that feel like they do have a voice and that they should be doing more with it?
Listen to yourself. You know, record yourself. I mean, and just be raw with it. You know, don't sugarcoat it. You know what sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know when I mess up. I know when I'm not at my best. If you can't sing, you know it. So don't fool yourself. Or either you can, nowadays, like you say, you don't really need to be a great singer to make it.
Right.
To, you know. So it's how bad you want it.
Well, you know what I find is interesting, too, is I notice, because I had a tape recorder, and I did sing growing up.
Okay.
And it was something that did come naturally, but I smoke, so that has damaged my vocal cords.
Uh-huh.
And I don't exercise, and that's a big thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I notice when you sing and you record it into something, it sounds different than what you think it sounds like, unless you have, you know, earphones on, et cetera, and you're on a mic. So I've noticed that too.
Yeah, it does sound different, but you can tell the quality.
Yeah.
You know, vocal quality, control, staying on key, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's just something about your voice, because, I mean, there are songs that, things that I've done, that I'm saying, I'd be like, whoa, did I do that? You know, I can go back and listen to it. Wow. Because it's like something takes over sometimes. And it's just right, you know.
You get wrapped up in it.
You get wrapped up in it. And it's just, yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap up here.
I have one last question.
Oh, okay.
Finish this.
It's an
finish
hour
this.
Already?
Fill in
okay.
the blank.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
If I couldn't sing, I would.
Write.
There you go.
All right, perfect. As a songwriter, pretty much?
Write books. Because I do write some things, like a poetry and prose and stuff like that. And I'm working on a play.
Oh, great.
I'm glad you didn't say if I couldn't sing, I would die.
I might. But so I've always been able to sing.
We want to hear the whole song
we
by
do.
Grace Thomas.
Okay.
So we do have to wrap up. But Grace, one more time, how can people get a hold of you for vocal lessons?
Mm.
And also to follow you for shows and stuff like that. Where do they go?
Right, if they want you for their wedding or their
funeral.
You can email me or, like I said, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
What's the Facebook page again?
The Grace Thomas Experience or just Grace Thomas in Flint, Michigan.
Okay.
In Flint, and that's probably the best way to
Yeah, so you won't get the doll. But you'll know me. I won't be the doll.
Hey, our CEO texted me and she said, today is the first day of fall.
Oh,
thank you, Rebecca.
All righty. What a trooper she is.
I know.
Man. She's sneaking around with the real big corporate people
for
the
corporate people
show.
Are in her office today, and she's still listening.
I do want to tell you before we listen to Grace Thomas Live, our sip on this.
Oh, yeah.
I know Grace likes wine.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked all over for the perfect wine, and it's called High Note because nobody sings a high note like Grace Thomas can.
Wish our viewers could see this because Jackie reaches down. Okay, picture us all at a table with headphones on, and Jackie reaches down to get the bottle to show Grace.
And it's
empty. And the bottle's almost empty.
And it has nothing to do with me.
And it's in her bag, like she sort of just carries it around with her wherever she goes.
My lunch. I carry my lunch with me.
Oh, my God. It's been an hour already.
It has. We're going to do our
Do you believe it? Talk about time flies in your
hand. Yeah. Next week. Who do we have?
Next week, we have Michael Glenn Monroe. He is a wildlife artist, and he's an illustrator of children's picture books. He has a great story. He fits in just wonderful with our What's the Wish, What's the Way. And one of the things that he does, and he'll do that for us next week, but he talks about how if you have a dream, go for it.
Yes.
He always says he's proof positive that you can pursue your dreams and you can make them come true.
That's great. And the week after that, we have K-Hub in the corner with K-Hub.
Right.
And she has a show on Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, also on Podcast Detroit. And she's good. Yeah, it's going to be another great story of how she got into broadcasting and built this big following. So we have some cool stuff coming up. Grace, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
We could really talk to you for 2 hours. Actually, we could listen to you sing for hours.
Right. Forget the talking. Let's get to the singing.
We are going to hear Grace do the entire song, and this is live, Aretha Franklin's Natural Woman, and we have Grace Thomas.
I used to feel so uninspired, and when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you, life was so
to turn the microphones back off. I'm so distracted.
You make me feel amazing with your voice.
Unbelievable. That was
fantastic. And that is a gift. And
well, thank you for inviting me.
No, thank you. We got to have
you
back.
It has re-inspired me.
Oh, we have to have you
back. And you know what? Sometimes we all need that. Boy, you inspired me. That is beautiful. I love those words. The one in there about my soul.
Yeah.
When my soul was in the lost and found, you came
to claim it.
That's the writer
in
you.
Okay, we have to wrap up.
Okay,
we have to wrap up. I'm sorry, you know.
Wrap up, snap up.
It's time to toss our cookies.
Oh, that's right. We have to get our...
Okay, this one is for
y'all.
That's for Grace.
Yep. Okay, here you go.
Which one's
mine?
Thank
you.
Looks like, which one? Maybe that one?
It came closest.
Remember, the tradition is that whichever way the prongs are facing you means that that fortune was destined for you.
Okay.
And so we're going to wrap up right now.
All right. And my fortune says...
It's about singing.
A lifetime of happiness lies ahead for you.
Ooh.
Lies ahead of you.
Oh,
for
wow.
you, whatever.
Okay.
Jackie, what's yours?
Oh, let's see.
Jackie always gets good ones. Not that a lifetime of
happiness. Oh my gosh, your income will increase.
All right.
Oh, I think that was mom for me. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, today when? I don't know. It's been saying stuff like
I know.
Nothing's happening, so.
Oh, well, not yet. Be patient.
Jessica, what's yours?
Mine was, you'll get more secure and confident in your relationships with coworkers.
Oh.
All right.
It's about us.
I'm pretty confident with you guys.
Yeah,
though,
yes,
though.
You're awesome.
Grace, what's yours?
Any rough times are behind you.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Now, wait a minute. Last week, we had the ninja guys on here.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a crazy show. Crazy.
Yeah.
I think that, but they said that
too.
When you read a fortune, you have to end it with in bed. So do it again.
A lifetime of happiness lies ahead of you in bed.
There you go. Mine is, your income will increase in bed.
This is awkward, but you'll get more secure and confident in your relationships with coworkers in bed.
All right, go ahead, any rough times are behind you in bed.
All right, that's
Isn't
a shout.
Funny how two little words in bed can make us
that's
laugh?
That's going to be a tribute to the ninja guys.
Oh, thanks, ninjas.
Yeah,
and, oh, by
it.
The way, ninja guys, I've been using that spice here and there, and it is yummy.
Which
good.
One, the insanity or the brown sugar one?
I haven't used the brown sugar one.
Oh, I love the brown sugar. And they actually came out with a new one that they unveiled.
I know, on our show.
Yeah, you should see the packaging. It's really cool. Oh. But anyway, we have to wrap it up. And we hope we helped you get over the hump. And thanks for listening. And thank you, Grace,
thank
for joining
you.
Us. Thank you, Jessica, for all your help.
Thank you.
Thank you, Denise.
Oh, thank you, Jackie.
Uh-huh.
And remember, sometimes your only available transportation
is a leap of faith.
All right.
Thanks. Have a great week.
This is a previously recorded episode. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.